Well, all I can say about that is hallelujah. That was awesome. Thank you, Isabel, Ann, and Amy. Thank you so much. It's always a treat. That's another perk for Shannon not being here, Chuck. We get to hear from them, and it's an awesome thing. We miss Shannon, but thank you so much for always being willing to share your music with us. You know, back when I was a young boy, my favorite time of year was obviously summertime. I think that's about every school-age kid's favorite time of year, maybe with the exception of Christmas and all the stuff you get. But summertime was always my favorite time of year because I could go and get outside and be carefree. School's out, no more teachers, no more books, no more papers, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. You heard that one. Didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. I could be carefree and go outside. I'd go outside first thing in the morning. As soon as I had my breakfast, I'd be gone, and I'd stay gone all day. I probably wouldn't come back in until it was time to eat dinner that evening. And in between those two times, I'd go out and play in the woods, or I'd ride my bicycle, or maybe climb a tree. You know, it's kind of sad that kids nowadays don't do those sorts of things like we used to do them when some of us were kids. It's hard to get an Xbox to work out in the woods. You know, it's hard to get that to go on. So kids don't necessarily play in the same way as we used to play when I was a child. And I had lots of friends that I could have played with, but my favorite thing to do was to play alone. And I don't know what that says about me, but my favorite thing to do was really to play by myself. I would go out in the backyard and I would get my army men and my rubber bands. And I would go out there and I would build some sort of fortress with bricks and rocks and whatever I could find laying out there in the yard. And I would spend hours having these battles in my own little imaginary world out there shooting these little men. I would build these cities. I'd build bricks that were buildings and have these little roads. And I had trucks and cars and I would run them all through these roads. And I would kind of zone out, if you know what I mean. I don't know if any of you ever do that. You get kind of focused on something and you don't hear anything else. You don't see anything else. You're kind of zoned in to what you're doing. I would kind of zone in on this imaginary world that I found myself in. Well, one Sunday afternoon, I was doing that. I was outside, kind of zoned into the things that I was doing with my cars and all. And I didn't know it, but my parents, my dad especially, had invited some people from the church to come over for a visit that afternoon, and they were evidently there, and I didn't realize what was going on because I was zoned in, but my dad had come outside on the back porch to introduce me to these people who had come for a visit. Now, I'm sure I didn't hear it, but I'm sure my dad called my name a couple of times, and I didn't respond. I just kept on doing what I was doing, and there was a water balloon. You know what a water balloon is? You take these balloons, you fill them with water, and you hit each other. And me and my brothers used to do that all the time in the summertime playing. Well, there was a leftover water balloon from the battle the day before sitting on the back porch. And my dad picked up that water balloon, and I'm sure he didn't try to hit me with it. I'm sure that wasn't his intention. He was trying to just get my attention. But he threw that water balloon, and he threw like a fastball. I don't know. But that thing hit me right square in the back of the head. Just right in the back of the head, blew up everywhere, soaked me. And I stood up just like this and went, I didn't know what had happened. And I remember seeing my dad and hearing my dad say this to the friends that had come out on the porch to meet me. He said, this is Chris. He's a good boy, but sometimes you just got to get his attention. You know, I've thought about that, and I think that's maybe how God has to feel a lot of times. I think maybe God has got to feel like, you know, they're good children. They're mine. They're my kids. And they're good kids. They're good children. They try to do the good things and the right things, but sometimes it's hard to get their attention. Sometimes they get focused and zoned in on things that they're doing, and they don't listen to me very well. They don't watch out for me. They don't talk to me for a little while. They don't see signs that I'm putting out there. Sometimes they're good kids, but sometimes it's pretty hard to get their attention. I think God probably spends an inordinate amount of time just getting our attention, just getting us to pay attention to Him, to keep us on that correct path that we should be on in our lives. You know, God wants you on the right path. God does not want you to stray off the path. He has a path for you. He has a purpose for you. And He does not want you to get off that path. And if you do get off that path, which we're all guilty of, let's just go ahead and say that. Not a one of us here hasn't strayed off the path once in a while. If you do get off that path, He is going to do everything possible to get your attention. He's going to do everything within His power to give you a sign, to give you a warning signal, to tell you something, to let you know that this isn't the path that you should be on. Now, this scripture that we're looking at today in Numbers chapter 22, and I invite you to turn there with me in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 22. This is one of those little nuggets of the Old Testament. It's like a diamond in the rough, a little hidden gem that if you don't read the book of Numbers very often, you'll probably miss this story. But it is a funny story, and it's a story that's got a very simple but a very great message for us this morning. Numbers chapter 22, I'm going to start reading in just a minute at verse 21. Now, I want to set the scene for you so you understand what I'm going to read here starting in verse 21. This story is about two people, basically. It's about this person named Balaam, and it's about this person who was a king named Balak. Balaam was this Gentile prophet. He could bless things and he could curse things and he listened to God and he knew God's will and he did basically what God told him to do. Balak was the king of the Moabites. Now the Moabites were a people sort of like the Israelites, but they were very afraid of the Israelites because the Israelites had grown to this enormous number of people since crossing over the Red Sea out of Egypt. They had grown in droves, and there was, some Bible scholars believe, hundreds of thousands of these Israelites. Well, Balak, the king of the Moabites, was afraid of the Israelites, and he was afraid they were going to overcome and overtake the Moabites. So Balak went to this Gentile prophet named Balaam, and he said, "Hey, Balaam, come here. Let me get you to help me. I need you to curse the Israelites. I need you to do something to curse these people so that I can overtake them and take their fields and take their land and take their livestock and take their stuff." Now, Balaam listens to God, so, you know, God's not one to do much cursing on the Israelites. They're kind of His people. So Balaam knows this is a pretty tough thing to ask. And Balaam says to Balak, "No, I will not do that. I can only listen to God. I can only do what God says. I'm following God's will. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with God. So no, Balak, I will not curse the Israelites." Well, Balaam had a little problem. Balaam liked money, and he liked prestige. He liked the thought that someone might pay him to bless or curse somebody. He loved the idea that kings had to come to him and were willing to come to him, the prestige of having that happen, to ask him to do certain things for them, to bless in certain ways or curse in certain ways. So Balaam, even though he had told Balak, "Nope, that's not in God's will. Nope, I'm not going to do that," he continued to kind of hang around with this king. And over time, the king got through to him. The king got him to buckle. The king got him to head off into the wrong path. And that's sort of where we're picking up this story. Balaam has agreed to do what he knows he shouldn't be doing. And he's heading off in the wrong direction. Numbers 22, verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Now, Balaam didn't see the angel, but the donkey did. God is doing whatever God can do, to getting back on the right path. And God sees that Balaam's heading off in the wrong path, so God sends an angel. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, he turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Now, Balaam is clueless, right? He's wandering off in the wrong direction. God's sending them a sign. God's talking to this donkey and telling this donkey, run off into the field. And he beats up the messenger. He beats up the donkey. Verse 24, when the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So what did he do? Did he say, oh, this must be God speaking to me? No. He beat the donkey again. He takes out his stick and beats him again. Verse 26, then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam, and he was angry, and he beat it with his staff. Three times God's tried to get his attention. Balaam, you know what's right and wrong. You're heading in the wrong direction. Three times God's tried to get his attention using this donkey. So now it's time for God to do something extraordinary. Now it's time for God to pull out all the stops. I have got to get him back on the right path, to do whatever he can do to get Balaam back on the right path. Verse 28, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey. He's starting to have an argument with a donkey about the fact that he's on the wrong path and he's so blinded to it he can't even see it. So he's arguing with this donkey. He doesn't think, oh, well, maybe God's speaking. Maybe God's making this. No, he doesn't think anything about that. He's having an argument with him. Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? Then Balaam got to thinking, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe there's something special about what's going on here. Maybe this is God trying to give me a sign. Maybe this is God trying to speak to me. No, Balaam said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it. This great story gives us a great lesson. This story tells us that God will go to amazing lengths for his children. That's you, me. He will go to extraordinary lengths for his children to make sure that his children stay within his purpose and his will. He will do everything in his power to make sure that his children, and Balaam got it straight from the donkey's mouth. He even made a donkey talk to him to get his attention, to help him to understand that he had headed off on the wrong path. God has a will and a purpose for everybody. If you're a child of God here today, if you're a child, he's got a purpose for you. He's got a will for your life. He has a path that he wants you to be on. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what your past looks like and how good or tainted that past might be. I don't care. Our goal and our purpose is to fulfill this promise, to fulfill this purpose, to fulfill this will, to stay on this path, because that is what's going to give your life meaning. Period. Period. That's it. That's the secret to life. The secret to life is finding God's will and finding God's path and striving to stay on it. Because I can promise you, when the day comes, and don't intend to be morbid here, but when the day comes when you and I are breathing our very last breath, we're not going to be thinking about, wow, I made a lot of money. We're not going to be thinking about, wow, I drive this kind of car or that kind of car. Wow, I live in this house or that house. We're not going to be thinking about those things. That's the last thing we're going to be thinking about. What we're going to be thinking about is, what has my life meant? What value and purpose has my life had in this world? How has my life made a difference in this world that I've lived in for X amount of years that I've been here? And the only way we're going to be in any position to be able to answer that question with positiveness and with excitement, even though we're going to meet God, the only way we're going to be able to answer that question is if we have the peace to be able to say, yes, God, I spent my life as best as I could trying to follow you, trying to stay within your will, looking for the signs, looking for the ways that you might have to bring me back, but trying to fulfill that purpose that you've given me, because he has a purpose for every single life. God is not going to let you stray. He's not going to let you do it. He's going to give you signs. He's going to give you warnings. He's going to make sure you know, either take away your peace, not let it work out, not let the door open. He's going to do something to keep you in his will and on that path. Now, here's the problem. How many of you have ever had either your spouse or someone else say to you, you sure are bullheaded? Well, at least there's some honest people in the building. Yes. Sure. Sure. You sure are hard-headed. We are. Aren't we? We're a hard-headed bunch, especially when it comes to God. We are a hard-headed bunch of people. And I'm sure God struggles with our hard-headedness. And we go off in our lives and we try to live our lives because we think we know what's right. This is what I need to be doing, and I know this is right. This is where I need to be going, and I know that's right. This is how I need to do my life, and I know it's right. This is what I need, and this is what I want, and this is what I want to do. And we think we got it all figured out, and we think we've got it all right. And sometimes when we do that, we start straying off the path, and we just completely ignore the signs. We completely ignore the red flags. We completely ignore the skulls and crossbones that start coming up that try to tell us. No, we completely ignore the donkey talking to us. We completely ignore the things that are happening in our lives. Have you ever driven the wrong way down a one-way street? You ever done that? Have you ever done it at night? It's really exciting at night. Yeah. The worst time I've ever been lost in my life, the worst lost I've ever been, and I can tend to get lost, just ask my wife, but thank God for GPS, but the worst lost I have ever been in my life was in Dallas, Texas. If you've ever been to Dallas, Texas, you know every road is a one-way street. Just about every road, it seems like, is a one-way street. Well, I was with a friend of mine, and we were driving, trying to find a hotel, specific hotel in Dallas, Texas. And I was driving, pulled up to an intersection, and there were two lanes and then a median and the other two lanes. So it was a four-lane road, right? Well, it was dark. I had never been there before. I had never seen it before, and I thought the median was just the grass. I didn't know there were two more lanes out there. I thought it was just a two-lane road. So guess what I did? I turned left into the right side lane. So I'm going the wrong way up a one-way street highway at night. I probably went a good quarter mile or so, and I kept wondering, and my friend kept talking about it, why do they keep honking at us and flashing their lights? And I'm sure one or two of them probably told me I was number one, and I just couldn't see because it was dark. I'm sure they did. You know, we go up the wrong way on the one-way streets sometimes. And I can promise you that when we do that, God's going to honk the horn. God's going to flash the lights. God's going to try to wave us off and get us back on the right path. That's why I'm so confident that that's true. That's why as a pastor over the years, as I've grown in trying to be a pastor, as a pastor, I've not been really too hesitant about pushing the limit, kicking the doors, you know, trying to push and try new things and try to do new things with a church that I happen to be in. Because I know that if I stay in an understanding of God's Holy Spirit in my life and in the life of the church, I know that if I do that, even if I kick the wrong door, it's going to be okay. Because if it's wrong, God's going to bring me back. If I'm paying attention, God's going to bring me back on the right path, the path that I should be on. God's going to take us and He's going to show us the right path. So we can go confidently with our lives. We can expand our lives like we talked about last Sunday. Expanding our lives, expanding our faith, expanding the container that we find ourselves in. We can go out there confidently and do that. I think so often we don't do that because we're afraid. We're afraid God's going to get mad at us. We're afraid maybe we're going to make a mistake and do something that God won't like. I don't think so. I think God wants us to push the limits. I think God wants us to push our understanding and try to discover the extent of His blessing. Because I think there's an extent of His blessing out there. It's sort of like, you know, you've heard it said that people only use 10% of their brain power. You've heard that. I use like 4% most days, I think. We use only 10% of our brain power. I think we use less than that of our spiritual blessing power. I think there's spiritual blessings out there that to be had that we never see, never touch, because we're afraid to push. We're afraid to expand. We're afraid to kick on the doors. We're afraid to push the limits. We're afraid to try to find that line where God's going to say, no, no, no. This is off limits. Turn around. But He will. He'll do that. He'll tell you stop. He won't get mad. He'll actually, I think, be pretty proud of us if we push the limits and we try to seek out what the great blessings are that God has for us and the depth of who God is in our lives and what God can do with our lives if we're only willing to submit ourselves, if we're only willing to put ourselves out there and offer ourselves up. I think God wants us to trust Him enough to push. He wants us to trust Him enough to push the limits of our faith, to find that line, to find that place, to find the limit of the blessings that God has for us. And He'll let you know. Either He'll give you no peace about it, none at all. He'll keep the door locked. He'll send a sign. He'll flash the lights. He'll honk a horn. He'll do something. He'll let us know, as long as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And where we get in trouble is when we try to live with that confidence, but then stop paying attention to Him. We try to live in that confidence, but then stop looking for the signs and looking for the ways that God wants to speak to us. Live your life with confidence. Live your spiritual life with confidence. Take that container you're in, like we talked about, and make it bigger. Push it. Be all you can be for God in everything you can do. And you may be looking in your lives right now, you may think, well, I think I'm on the right path right now. I'm going down the right path, and I think I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do with my life, and that's wonderful. But make sure you're looking for the signs. Make sure you're watching for the signals that God might be sending to us. And then go confidently. Go and push more. Try to be more. Strive to grow. Strive to understand more. Try to be all you can be in God and expand that space. And we should be doing the same thing as the church. And that's what I'm trying to lead us to do. Push. Be more. We've been kicking a lot of doors lately around here. And guess what? God hadn't said no yet. Not one time yet. And we're going to keep kicking, and we're going to keep pushing. And one of these days, God's going to say, nope, that's far enough. Nope, that's enough. Nope, that's the wrong direction, Chris. We don't need to be going that way. And that's fine. We'll back off and we'll go a different direction and we'll do something different. But that's the confidence we have to live as Christians in our faith in this world. So if you feel like you're on the right path, awesome. Push. Be confident in your faith. But if you're looking in your life right now and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I've strayed away a little bit. Wow, I've gotten off the path and I've not paid much attention to the signs and I've kind of wandered off. It's okay. He wants you to come back. Just come back. He wants to bring you back to the path that you should be on. Look and watch for the Holy Spirit in your life every day. Live your life with a confidence. You have a Father who loves you so much, He will not let you get far away. He will not let you stray far away. Just listen for Him. Watch for Him. If you hear your donkey talking, pay attention, right? If something extraordinary starts happening in your life, pay attention. If He sends you a sign, pay attention. It's God striving to help you fulfill your purpose with your life. You have one. Fulfill that purpose every day. Let's bow and let's have a time of prayer together. Father, thank you so much for this amazing, funny story that shows us just the ways that you'll go, the lengths that you'll go to take care of us, to love us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us to fulfill our purpose in our lives and to stay within your will. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much. As a father loves his children, so you love us, it says. Father, help us to look into our lives today to make sure we're on the path that you would have us on. And this is a very individualized thing. This is just between each one of us and you. Help us to make sure we're on that right path. Help us to look for the signs that you have for us. And God, if there be one here this morning who has strayed away, bring them back today, now. Show them the way back so their life can have this meaning and purpose that gives us such peace in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your word and for this time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.